In those days, I was what you'd call a cat burglar. Not really. I just wanted to write a story about a burglar, so I thought, why not just do it? I went into this sixth-floor apartment with a view of nothing in particular. Stole a bottle of rum and a carton of Camel cigarettes. Took the fire escape out of there. And in the next one down, I see this guy sitting on the floor playing his bongos. I sort of hesitate, and he opens his eyes, looks right at me. And I'm paralyzed, man. I can't move. I'm wearing this little black cat burglar mask right into the part. And I'm looking at him, looking at me. And he smiles, motions for me to come right on in. So that's how I started jamming with Brando. Yeah, that's right. He could stump. Yeah, and he could mumble. And he could walk. I didn't know who he was, because he was nobody at that time. Just an actor in some play in the village. He called me Cat. And that's all he ever called me, even years later when he was famous. We drank one of those bottles and really got rowdy. Me improvising poetry on the spot. Jamming, man. We were jamming. Big circle before he decided I was okay. Had a motorcycle, sometimes kicked it in rage, but he never hit his women, left the animal inside its cage. Yeah, he knew a thing or two about rage, like all drummers do when they lock themselves inside. Just a social thing, although he was serious about his drums. He was an insomniac, suffered from panic attacks, and drums were his way of filling in the empty space before dawn, especially when he didn't have a chick around. I think he still thought he might be something else, not an actor, like a drummer in a jazz ensemble. Cool cat walking the streets alone, ignoring the starry sky, just moving to the beat inside his head. The way it was for him, really, was that he liked to live on stage, prowl about, be part of the space. I've talked to my agent, he'd say, and he's working on something, but we gotta keep this secret. Sometimes he'd show up on a motorcycle, an Indian or a Triumph, something with two wheels and a chick on the back. Trashy types, like fate movie stars, waitresses, drugstore vamps. Both be chewing gum and giggling like they just got out of bed. My first wife was one of his cast-offs, actually. Probably not. And he'd stumble, and he'd mumble, and he could be humble, yet never did Brando crumble, at least not to my face, in and out, man, in and out. said he was going to France, he'd take me with him, and we'd jam on the left bank. Never happened. He went, hung out with Cocteau and Roger Vadim and a bunch of existentialists. And when he came back, I didn't see him for a long time. In fact, I was in a movie house, looked up, and there he was on the big screen. One day he showed up on 57th with a broken nose and a big smile. And we went to somebody's loft where he played his bongos, and I stood around drunk, inarticulate. Now that I knew who he was, what he was, I was just inarticulate. Told me not to worry. He was working on something for us. He was sick of acting, wanted to do something serious. Although I must say, what's so serious about banging on the bongos? He was seeing a shrink. Everybody knew that. Art is the correction of a neurosis, Freud said. Sure, but whose neurosis? He disappeared again. Hollywood, someplace, South Seas maybe. Then he got famous and he got fat. Years passed, and then out of the blue he started phoning me again late at night, talking slow, mumbling. He wanted me to write a script about a poet who was also a burglar, a Lord Byron type, a period piece. And fool that I was, I went ahead and wrote it. Nothing happened. One night the phone rang and it was him. And he said, wasn't it great when we jammed in the old days? Now everything was a drag. He was surrounded by phonies. Then he said, I read your script, Cat. I like it. Let's do it. Oh yeah, we were jamming. But it never happened. Oh well, I guess all the suckers come down off the roof when the drums start beating.